He got mad because I didn't sleep in the bed with him.
A sleepless night.
Why didn't you just go back to your grandmother?
It was 2:30 in the morning.
Turns into a vicious fight.
He tossed me 2 or 3 times onto his bed, and then I blacked out and I threw my little fish tanks.
What she also failed to mention is that she went outside and threw a cinder block through my car windshield. That's why the police came.
Well, what do you want from him?
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 22-year-old Nadia Clay is suing her ex-boyfriend, George Bosco, for the return of a phone and a router, as well as for assault and harassment.
Order. All rise.
Now, it's case number 597 on the calendar, the matter of Clay versus Bosco.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
I have a claim and a counterclaim. They both involve an incident that allegedly took place sometime in November of 2012 when you, Ms. Clay, and you, Mr. Bosco, were living together.
Yes.
How long did you know each other before you moved in together?
For 4 months.
Think that's long enough?
No.
No. Think that's long enough?
No, not really.
Did you move in with her or did she move in?
No, she moved in with me.
Where had you been living prior to moving in with him?
With my grandmother.
Okay. On what date did this incident happen in November?
November 11, 2012.
You want to tell me your version of the events of November 11, 2012?
I wanted to go out with my girlfriends that night. So he had told me, can you please come pick me up at work before you do anything? So I picked him up, dropped him off, and I took my girlfriend with me also. When I left, I got phone calls stating, oh, you're going to go to meet another guy. Why are you doing that? And I just wanted to go out with my girls that night. And we didn't even go to the club. We went to her house to have a couple of drinks.
Just tell me what happened with him.
He got mad because I went out. I come back to sleep on his couch, and he got mad because I didn't sleep in the bed with him. So he gave me an attitude, and I responded back, I don't want to sleep in the bed. I will be going to the Crossroads shelter in the morning. And that's when all ends started going off.
You'll be going to where in the morning?
Crossroads homeless shelter.
Why didn't you just go back to your grandmother?
It was 2:30 in the morning. I didn't want to wake her up. That's why.
Not at 2:30 in the morning. Sunday. At 6 o'clock in the morning. At 8 o'clock in the morning. What you just said to me was, you said to him, I'm going to the shelter tomorrow morning. Not at 2:30 in the morning, but tomorrow morning. So my question is, why wouldn't you go home to your grandmother's the next morning?
I didn't think of it at that time.
Okay. So you said, I'm going to the homeless shelter in the morning. And he said,
you are not going anywhere. What did I do wrong? And he just wanted to sit down and talk to me. But we got into the argument, and that was still ticking along in my head.
So I'm waiting for something to happen that I can decide.
So after the argument, he started putting his hands on me. He put his hands on me right here and was tossing me 2 or 3 times onto his bed.
That's not what you said in your complaint.
Why?
Do I look like I need your help? That's not what you said in your complaint.
When we was arguing, he would not let me out of his man cave, which he would call it. So he was blocking his doorway.
Listen, saying, try to get your story straight.
He would not let me out of his man cave.
Well, he would not let you out of his man cave. When did he put his hands on you?
When we got into his bedroom. His bedroom and man cave is connected. And when I was trying to get, that's what he calls it. When I tried to get into his bedroom, that's when he then put
his hands on me. What were you trying to get into his bedroom for?
So I can leave the house, because I felt like his arguing and his yelling was just, he was attacking me in his words.
Keep going.
So when I went into his bedroom, he started then putting his hands on me.
Keep going.
He tossed me 2 or 3 times onto his bed, and then I sat there, and he was yelling at me. So I got up, and he was like, you're not going anywhere. What did I do wrong? He just kept on repeating himself. And I said then, I got really mad. I blacked out, and I threw my little fish tanks. Little glass vases, the same size as this. There was 2 fishes. That was mine. He brought for me for a gift. I threw it at the bedroom door because I felt like he was going to attack me again, put his hands on me again. After I threw both of those fish tanks, his brother and his girlfriend came into the room and was yelling at us, saying, it's 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Why are you guys yelling, arguing at this time? Can we all go to sleep? And after that, I was like, no, forget it. I need to get my things. I need to get out of this house. And I went outside, and that's when I called the police and the ambulance because from what I heard, he cut himself on his foot. I was waiting outside. The police come.
Keep going.
The police come.
I'm living in Neverland here. I'm going to read to you what you wrote in your complaint.
They ignored me and went inside the house because I called the ambulance for George. After all of this, I went to the shelter, and there was still more arguments.
Well, what do you want from him?
I just want him to give me my cell phone back, my black router box from Sprint that I got with my cell phone plan, and the harassments that he's been giving me in my emails.
I'm going to read to you what you wrote in your complaint, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
One night in November, I came home, and he was, for some reason, furious. He hit me in the back of the head while I was walking down the hallway away from him. I was terrified and went to the hospital because my head hurt so badly. When I got out of the hospital, I had to move to a domestic abuse shelter because I had nowhere else to go. That bears no relation to the story you just told me. None. No tossing on the bed. Nothing. You had to go to the hospital because your head hurt you so badly?
He did hit me.
I gave you more time than I give most people to tell me what happened the night of November 11, 2012. Nonsense. Okay, listen to me. Don't laugh.
Sorry.
You want to tell me your version of what happened in November of 2012? Bird is dying to hear.
It was November 11th when I was working. I had called her. I said, hey, babe, come pick me up. I'm getting out of work. She was with her friend. Yes, she was. I was a little furious because earlier that day, I had went through her cell phone. I have authority for it. I had her password. I'm not a mind reader. I can't guess a password. I went through it. I seen some pictures that she sent to some kid. Now, mind you, we're living together. She's living in my home. We're doing everything as a couple. You have no right showing your body to another guy, especially if you're living with me and we're boyfriend and girlfriend. So I let her go.
That's a reasonable statement.
Exactly. I was frustrated. I'm a chef. I came home from work. I was mad. I was like, all right, go out. Have fun. Have a good time. She comes home at 3:00 in the morning. She goes, why would you go through my phone? I said, you gave me the authority to, just because you told me to do it this day doesn't mean I'm going to do it this day. I'm going to do it when you least expect it.
I'm going to do it when you're least expecting it.
Exactly.
Go on.
So what she failed to mention was, yes, I did grab her shoulders. I did put her on the bed. It's 3:30 in the morning. Our landlord lived above us. She's flipping out. I'm leaving. I'm going to the shelter. I said, no, stay here. We'll, just like she said, we'll deal with it in the morning. I didn't hit her because if I hit her, I would have been arrested for domestic assault.
She doesn't say you hit her.
Cops.
She doesn't know what you did to her, but she doesn't say you hit her.
Well, she threw both fish tanks. Yes, she did. And one of them did hit my foot. That's why
was
I had...
Was it cut?
Yeah, I got 7 stitches on my right foot.
Do you have a medical record?
Yes, I do.
I'd like to take a look at it. Where's her phone, Mr. Bosco?
Well, when she moved out, she had some other things there, and I thought I gave it to her, but I did some spring cleaning. I found a couple of her things. I happened to find that phone. I had contacted her through Gmail. I had contacted her little sister through her Facebook. I'm coming to the house. I'm dropping off the phone. I went to the house, knocked on the door. She was there. I said, hey, here's your phone. She goes, I don't want it, and shut the door.
Why?
I asked him in January of 2013. This was for 4 months I've been asking for the phone.
Wait, just a second. Did he come to give you back your phone?
Yes.
Well, then what are you suing him for?
The phone, which he put in the mailbox, and then the harassment, and on top of that, the black router box that came with my cell phone plan.
Okay. And to this day, Your Honor, I still can't find that box, that black box. It's
doesn't
in my
have
house
the
somewhere.
Box, and you don't want the phone. If you wanted the phone, you would have taken the phone when he handed it to you.
I've been asking it for 4 months, and he should have gave it to me in January.
Should have, would have, could have, but you're here now. That's what you're suing for.
Sorry.
Anything else you want to tell me?
Yes. This whole fight that had occurred that night when the police had responded, what she also failed to mention is that she went outside and threw a cinder block through my car windshield. That's why the police came.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
Mechanics usually have friends who are mechanics. So if you do the body work, somebody else does the interior work.
Correct.
You know, you have somebody who could fix you up inside, and then you have a plastic surgeon who can do the outside, right?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Nadia Clay says... Ex-boyfriend George Bosco owes for the return of a phone and for an assault. George is countersuing for medical bills and moving expenses.
Now, did you throw a cinder block through his car window?
Yes, and then he proceeded to sell that car and got a new car. And then it's another car he sold and got a...
Did you fix the window?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have the receipt?
No, I fixed it myself.
He goes to the job.
I'm not worried about the windshield. I'm not worried about that.
Oh, she would have paid for that.
Well,
she would have paid for that hissy fit.
And in addition to that, Your Honor, which it states in my eviction papers, I was evicted because of that. And my landlord had stated in my eviction
letters. Don't tell me that the landlord stated unless you have something in your eviction papers.
Yes, I do.
I'd like to take a look at them. How long had you been living there, Mr. Bosco, before she moved in?
I was there 6 months prior to her moving in.
Your lease was terminated because of her actions,
yes,
according to this. And I do think that she's responsible for that. So whether he sold the car after you threw a cinder block through the windshield of the car or whether he kept the car and fixed it himself is really of very little consequence. The commotion that was caused that evening was caused by your actions. And he was injured. You were not. So I think you are responsible on the counterclaim. The only medical bill that I have is $485. Did you find another apartment?
Yes, I did.
When?
3 weeks after this whole situation.
Where did you stay for that three-week period?
I stayed there. I had talked to the landlord. I went upstairs. I said, listen, I'm not a millionaire. I can't just up and go. He said, I'll give you 3 weeks. You have to be out by this time. I moved out. The house was in perfect condition. There was no further contact between the landlord and I.
Do you have any bills that you can verify your moving expenses with? Because that's also what you're suing for.
No, I used a friend's truck. And I had...
In any event, so the answer is no. There's nothing else on your side of the table?
No.
No, great. All right. $485 is what she owes you for the medical bills and $500, which I'm charging her for the fact that you had to move.
Thank you.
And you had to move because of her actions. Awarding you $985. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
You don't belong breaking people's stuff. If I'm housewarming you, respect me. Know your place.
I don't care. It is what it is. I just want to go back to New York.
Either her acting extremely ratchet.
I don't want to say nothing. I don't care. I just want to get off.
And trying to just be something that she's not, you have to pay the piper.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Quinn versus Bertuzzi. Step forward.
Julie Quinn is suing her former friend, Constantino Bertuzzi, for the value of an Audi A4 she sold him. Constantino says the car broke down right after he took possession.
Miss Quinn, you had a car that you were selling. The car belonged to your former husband?
No, that car was my car. I gained my late husband's car when he passed away, and I wanted to sell the Audi.
The Audi. And the Audi was your car?
Yes.
And the Audi had a lien against it as a result of a loan, so, and you still had payments to make on that car?
Correct.
Mr. Bertuzzi agreed to purchase that car. So far, are we correct?
At the beginning, I agreed to fix the car and put it for sale.
Eventually, you told her you wanted to purchase the car.
Later on, yes.
I don't care. You know, this is a half-hour show.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
So you didn't have to say anything? Did I say it so far okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
Doesn't get anywhere with me. You don't do it for me, so don't give me the huh.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Julie Quinn says former friend Constantino Bertuzzi owes for the value of an Audi A4 she sold him. Julie claims Constantino took possession of the vehicle but never paid.
Now, you told her you wanted to purchase the car and you agreed on a price.
Correct.
And the price you agreed on was $8,500.
Correct.
And in what month and year did you agree on the $8,500 to purchase the car?
I believe it was in July.
July of 2012.
12.
And in July of 2012, you had physical possession of the car.
Correct.
Because what you were going to do is, at first you were going to see if you could fix it.
Correct.
You know, do some work on it.
Sorry.
And then when you saw that it was probably a pretty good car, you decided to buy it.
Correct.
Is your trade being a mechanic?
Correct.
Okay. Now, at the time you agreed to purchase the car, as Ms. Quinn says, there was still money owing on the car.
Correct.
You kept possession of the car until Ms. Quinn paid off the car.
Yes, I did.
Because you weren't going to give her money if there was still an outstanding loan, right?
Incorrect.
That would be stupid, right?
Yes.
I'm serious. Are you just saying yes, but...
No.
You agree with me, right?
100%.
100%. You wouldn't give her $8,500 if she still owed money on the car. So Ms. Quinn paid off the car in...
October, I believe.
So she paid off her car, and you have physical possession of her car. But she doesn't have any money, right?
Correct.
You never paid her for the car. I read your answer, and I just want you to correct me if I'm wrong. You let your girlfriend drive the Audi.
Mm-hmm.
While your girlfriend was driving the Audi that you fixed.
Yes.
Because you're a mechanic. That's your trade.
Mm-hmm.
According to you, the engine blew up.
Yeah, there was a oil pump failure.
Who cares? That's your problem. Or your girlfriend's problem. The engine blew up. So they towed the car someplace. You said, I'm not paying for the car. It's now got a blown-up engine. On what date did the engine blow up?
September 15.
Now, I would like you to tell me what kind of actual business you have. Do you have a shop where you do mechanics work?
At the time, I had a body shop, working in a body shop. So I don't work on engines. I just do body work.
I don't care whether you work on the front, the back, the side, the underneath. You're the mechanic. Mechanics usually have friends who are mechanics. So if you do the body work, somebody else does the interior work.
Correct.
You know, you have somebody who could fix you up inside, and then you have a plastic surgeon who can do the outside, right? You're the surgeon. So now you have, sir, a blown-up car.
Yeah.
And she has no money. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't make any sense to me. I can't quite figure out what your defense is.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
See, you didn't have to say anything? Did I say it so far okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
Uh-huh. Doesn't get anywhere with me. You don't do it for me. So don't give me the huh. Give me your defense. I can't figure out what your defense is, sir. I read it. It said, well, she hadn't paid off the car, so I wasn't going to pay her for the car. Then you don't give it to your girlfriend to drive. You leave it in your shop until it's paid off. And then no engine would have blown up. Nothing would have happened. And if it did, it would have been your problem because you are the mechanic and said, I want to buy it.
Yes.
Give me your defense.
Okay, my defense is...
Give me your defense.
Okay, so the car, you know, I agreed to buy the car after we couldn't sell it to anybody else, and I fixed the car. So I put, like, you know, work in the car, so, you know, it's worth it for me to keep the car because the car was pristine. And then my girlfriend was going back to Colorado because she lives in Colorado, and when she got to Utah, the car broke down.
So whose fault is that?
The car fault, I guess. You know, she didn't have an accident, the just car broke down, broke.
That's your fault. You had no right to let somebody else use that car. Didn't belong to you. And if you say it did belong to you, then you got to pay her money.
Okay,
you can't have it both ways.
The car at the time was not, there was still a lien on it, so
you,
she didn't even own the car.
No.
At the time it was like
me.
The bank owned.
Listen to me, sir. You chose to take the car and to give it to somebody else. And you agreed to pay her $8,500. But right now she has no car. So this is what I want you to do. Ms. Quinn, I want you to sign this car over to Mr. Bertuzzi because he owns the car wherever it is.
Okay.
If it's in Utah, he can go get it. And if it's in Colorado, he can go get it. But he owes you what I could give you, which is $5,000. Sign it over to him. It's now
his
car.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much. This was an easy case.
Buzz, excuse. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Next at 5 o'clock, temperatures are about to plunge into the 30s. The best way to protect your plants from tonight's frost. Plus, hear from the Stoneham brothers who each lost a leg in the marathon bombings. How their close bond is helping them through the darkest days. Next.
It was excuse after excuse.
I have some other issues, so, you know, unfortunately, We had to go this route.
Food poisoning, then he said the IRS froze his money.
But, you know, usually it's not there's nothing bad about it.
I mean, the excuses just went on and on and on.
Of course, he's my friend. I mean, friendship doesn't get ruined for these things.
It's just awful that someone would do this to another person when all they had was trust and they completely trusted this person.